Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us through the word of the Lord tonight. Father, I ask you to help me to say what you'd have me to, that you be glorified in it, and that your people, Lord, would be blessed, be empowered, equipped for all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, beginning a new year, and I used to really relish the New Year's Eve service at midnight, and I don't relish that so much anymore. I'm tired when that rolls around. We almost made it to midnight last night, but not quite. We gave up. So, but nonetheless, here it is, the first day of this new year. And, you know, in a sense, it's just another day. I mean, in one sense, you can certainly look at it that way. But it really is an opportunity to make a fresh start, an opportunity for new beginnings. And it should give us hope for better days. Even if we've had a great year, who knows what potential this year holds and what God might have for us. So to me, it's always exciting to start a new year. And we just need to intentionally do it right. And I think we are when we start with prayer and we're praying and seeking God. That's a great way to start the year. But a new year full of all kinds of possibilities, opportunities. You got 12 months, you got 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours. You're going to kill one of those tonight. 525,600 minutes, 31,536,000 seconds. Aren't you glad to know that? You knew you'd learn something tonight. What are you going to do with all this time? It'll go fast. But a new year, well, we make those New Year's resolutions. And those aren't really a bad thing, but I read about one person that made a resolution to read more. And so they decided to leave the captions on the TV all the time when they watch TV. Yeah, I hope you're doing better than that. But anyway, I was going to lose weight for my New Year's resolution, but I just hate to lose. Okay. I like to make jokes about resolutions because it seems like, well, it doesn't just seem like, it is this way. So few of them actually are kept. Most of them fade away within 2 weeks. But it is a good thing to set goals. It is a good thing to determine a new course. It is a good thing to pursue something better rather than just to maintain or just to accept things as they are. We just need to follow through with our decisions. We need to not just make resolutions, but be resolute. I like that word better. We need to be resolute. We need to be determined. We need to set our face like Jesus did when he knew that the time was near. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, there was nothing or nobody going to stop him from his course and his plan. And we need to be resolute about the things that we believe that God wants us to do so that we don't just fall back into the same old patterns and it's just another year. You know, change doesn't come easy. It's easier just to stick with what you know and do the same thing you've always done. But for us as believers, it ought to be a way of life that we're always growing, always changing, always moving forward because the Lord wants to change us and make us more like Jesus, and most of us have quite a ways to go. Amen. He's not done. I've met some who claimed that they like change, but even little ones like their routine. They don't like change. I heard that during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, my grandkids are getting no sugar. They cleaned out the pantry of everything that had sugar in it. So I can assure you that there will be tears. I know for a fact. But, you know, some of you can relate right now. Yeah, we feel the same way. One man said that the only people that like change are wet babies, and even they aren't too excited about it. So as frustrating as it may be, and as lifeless as it sometimes is, too often we find ourselves in a rut. So I want to encourage you that today is a day for a fresh start. And I know it's almost 8 o'clock on this first day, but it's not too late for you to set your sights on a fresh start, a new beginning, and to pursue after all that God has for you. You know, we have the Lord to help us get to where we want to be. We're not like the world, just trying to do things only by our sheer willpower. Our will is involved, but we can't just do it on our own. We're trusting in the Lord. He's the one that gives us strength. And I know, I'm going to say again, I know a New Year's Day can be just like any other day, but we shouldn't waste the opportunity to set a course to do all God has for us. So we're going to talk about how to start a new year. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It is going to be a simple message. It's an acronym, START. First, we need to seize the day. You could start in July or August or wait till next December, but why not start today? Seize the day. Today, there's an opportunity. A lot of us have maybe made mistakes. Well, no, let me rephrase that. We've all made mistakes this past year. We've all had some failures. We've all had some areas maybe where we could have done better. We've all had some disappointments, maybe some hurts. But those things don't have to keep us from moving forward this year with what God has for us and having our best year ever. His mercies are new every morning. I love that verse. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning when you get up, the mercy of God is new. His mercies are new every year. He has not bound you to your past. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us." I think one of the greatest hindrances to people moving forward with God, what God wants to do in their life, is they become so focused on the past failures. They allow those things to hinder them, to keep them. All those would've, should've, could've's and wishes, but I'm telling you, we need to seize the day because our God, his mercies are new every morning. As far as the east from the west. So you can go to the North Pole, you can go to the South Pole. You can't go to the East Pole. You can't go to the West Pole. It just keeps going. That's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. So many people say, well, you know, this is the way I am. Well, tonight, I hope that you can say, that is the way I was. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And here we are, starting fresh and new in a new year. God's mercies are new every morning. There is no reason for you to be bound to not only your past failures, but those old patterns and habits and say, well, that's the way I am. You don't have to be. No, we serve a God who's in the business of changing lives. He does that. And he helps us. He gives us the strength that we need. All things have become new. That's talking about you and me. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says about himself in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. So here he is, this great man of God, but he tells us very plainly he hasn't attained everything. He's not perfect. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He's wanting to seize a hold of something, the purpose of God in his life, that call of God. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's how you seize the day. We know we're not perfect. We hadn't arrived yet, but we put the past behind and we reach forward to what God has for now and for tomorrow. Seize the day. Go after it. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And you know what? God always does new things. People always try to put him in a box and say, well, God did it this way once, and that's the way he does it. No, God's always doing a new thing. But I know that especially in our lives, a lot of times, God wants to do things we hadn't even thought of, things we never even imagined. He's a creative God, but we need to be ready for what he wants to do. And to do that, you got to put the past behind, the good, the bad, and focus on the now, what God wants to do now and tomorrow. Seize the day for new things, for better, for growth, for success, for excellence. Make up your mind. Say, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to look for a better, you know, when everything's perfect, when everything works out, when everything falls into place, when this happens, when that, no, seize the day. Make up your mind that you're going to go after it now. Second, we got to take inventory. You need to prayerfully consider our life, where we are and where we want to be. Now, this is something you really have to pray about. I said prayerfully consider. You got to really pray about this. Because, and by the way, I want you to understand, when I put this acronym, I'm giving you these in the order of START, but they all work together. So it's not seize the day and then do this, but they all go together, all right? And I want you to understand that when you're taking inventory of your life, you got to really pray about it, because it's only with the Lord's help we can really identify what needs to change and what needs to be developed in us and where we need to go, what we need to pursue after. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. See, it's when we trust the Lord and we look to him that he directs our paths. And so if we're going to pursue after, if we're going to seize the day, I'm telling you, we need to do so prayerfully, because we want to be running after the right things, pursuing after the things that God has for us, not just some idea we had. What needs to change? What needs to be left behind? I, in many ways, had a good year last year, but I know there's more. I know that God wants to do more. So what needs to be added? We need to ask ourselves those questions like, you know, do I need to grow in my relationship with God? Well, I hope we all say yes. Do we need to change our devotional life, what we're doing for our devotional life? Do we need to pray more? Do we need to read our Bible more? Do we need a greater involvement in ministry? Do we need to get involved in a new area of ministry? Do we need to change our diet and exercise maybe? Do I need to change some relationships? Do I need to spend more quality time with my family? I'm just throwing out a few things that, you know, we need to prayerfully take inventory. What needs to change? What do my goals and pursuits need to be? What are my priorities. What should be my commitments? If I'm going to be resolute, what am I going to be resolute about? And I'm just saying it one more time. You got to do this with prayer. You take inventory with prayer, with God's help. So he sees the day, you take inventory. Next, we got to accept responsibility. We've all had times when we felt like we had the deck stacked against us. Everybody's been treated unfairly sometime. We've all had things happen to us that we had no control over. But as long as we blame or we make excuses, we condemn ourselves to failure. When we say it's not our fault, there's nothing that we can do, so we don't even try. I talk about accepting responsibility a lot because to blame and make excuses is crippling, it's debilitating, it's self-defeating. And that doesn't mean that some of those things are not real and that they didn't happen to us and that there weren't problems and disappointments and wrongs and all kinds of setbacks. And yes, things happen, but here's the point, is to move forward and to move past that. We have to realize that with God, those things can't stop us. You know, we say these cliche things and they're true. You and God make a majority. You know, we say, but I can't do it. How about we remember what the Bible says, that with the Lord, there's not anything we can't do. I'm just telling you that we have to put aside the excuses and we have to take responsibility. See, if they wouldn't push my buttons, then I wouldn't blow up. You know, here's a great resolution. I'm not going to lose my temper this year. I'm not going to blow up on people. But they push my buttons. You're going to have to get past that excuse. Well, if I didn't have to work so much, then I would get involved in the ministry. Yeah, here I go. If Carmen would stop cooking me all this food that I can't resist. If we didn't have so many Mexican food restaurants in town. You know. I remember the year I was in Springfield, Missouri for Bible college. They had one Mexican food restaurant. And they had this little cup of hot sauce that sat on the tables and had been there for like 3 weeks. And nobody ate it. I couldn't eat it either. So I didn't eat Mexican food for 9 months. It was a sad, depressed time in my life. But it's up to us to make changes, to do whatever it takes to get where we want to go. I'm just telling you, we got to take responsibility in our own life. All things are possible with God. Amen. Proverbs 28:13 in the Living Bible. I don't use the Living Bible much, but this is pretty profound for the message tonight. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. You know what? I know this. We serve a God of another chance. And that's what this is, a new year. It's another chance. But we got to be willing to admit where we messed up, where we made mistakes, where we could have done better so that we can do better. When we do that, then we know what we really need to do different. Seize the day, take inventory, accept responsibility, renew your mind. I love this part because I really believe that one of the things that really determines whether or not people win in life, and I'm talking about spiritually, overcome, has so much to do with whether or not they renew their mind, how they think, whether or not they get the Word of God in. And I think in our generation, this is even more true than past generations because, listen, if we could just go back and imagine what it was like 100 years ago, 100 years ago would maybe, I think that's enough, go 120 if you need to, where there was no radio, no TV, no internet, no phones, no TVs, no screens, no computers. Can you imagine how quiet it must have been? And if you wanted to see some neighbors, you know, you get out and walk down the street at the very least and maybe have to get on a horse and ride down to the next place. But it's so quiet and so different than the way we live, where we are constantly bombarded by 1,000 voices. And I'm just telling you that for us, it is imperative that we renew our minds with the Word of God, as we are constantly saturated with so much yuck. So if we want to start fresh, have a new beginning, start this year right, we need to rethink the way we think. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. We're not supposed to be like the world. And here he tells us how we can do this. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you renew your mind, it will transform your life. Not a little change. It'll transform you, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transform your life. That is so powerful. You want to have a great year this year, the best year you've ever had? How about one where your life is just transformed? Here's how. Renew your mind. Change the way you think, and I'm telling you, it will change your actions and it'll change your outcome. Proverbs 4:23 in the King James says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The Good News Bible says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." See, I realize that, I'm going to say a couple, let me just preface with this. I realize that sometimes, you know, people have chemical imbalances and things they're dealing with physically, but just as a general rule, understand this. If you're depressed, discouraged, distressed, it's probably related to thinking depressed, discouraged, and distressing thoughts. If you're angry and bitter, it's very related to thinking angry and bitter thoughts. See, if you're struggling with worry and fear and unbelief, it is absolutely connected to your thought life. And sometimes we kind of have the attitude that, well, we can't do anything about that. We just think what we think. But yes, we can. We have a choice to make. First of all, we got a choice to make what we listen to and what we look at. But we also have a choice every time a thought pops in our head what we're going to do with it. And I'm just telling you, if you renew your mind, you change the way you think, it'll change your actions, it'll change your outcome. There's a little saying I learned 30 years ago, and you've probably heard me say it before, and that's okay. I want you to keep hearing me say it till it just runs in your mind. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of your stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, you're going to keep on getting what you've always got. And you know, whenever you got some garbage thinking, the whole world stinks. It just works that way. You got to get rid of that thinking. But you renew your mind. Here's a great, huge part of getting a fresh start is you got to change the way you think. I can tell you this, if you keep thinking the same mindset, same old way, 6 months from now, you'll find yourself in the same old patterns repeating. You got to change your mind. So you think you can't lose weight? You're probably right. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Can't get a good job? You're probably right. Philippians 4:19 says, my God supplies all my need. See, you got to change the way you think. Don't think that negative way. Think according to the Word of God. Renewing the mind. That means I don't have to still think the same old way, be the same old way. You know, sometimes if we're going to move forward in life, we got to learn some new things. You got to listen to something new. You got to get around somebody different maybe and get a new perspective sometimes. Many years ago, there was a man that bought a radio and he plugged it in, put it up on top of the refrigerator, and he turned it to WSM in Nashville, home of the Grand Ole Opry, and then he pulled off all the knobs off that radio so that it could never be changed because he didn't want to ever hear anything else. And you know what? We tend to kind of do that. I'm not talking about radio now. But we tend to kind of do that. We tend to just listen to the same voices over and over. In fact, I think most of the time we only like to hang around people that think just like we do and say the same things we do. Y'all really quiet right now. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we need a new perspective on some things. Don't always, you know what we need isn't always somebody that agrees with us about everything. Sometimes we need somebody that'll tell us what we need to hear instead of just what we want to hear. I'm thinking that's my job right now. But you can't really expect a different outcome this year if you still approach things the same way. You got to have a change of perspective. And let me tell you where the best place to get a real change of perspective is from the Lord. Because I can tell you that he can get right to the heart when nobody else can. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It divides asunder between soul and spirit and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. It has a way of just cutting right through if we're willing to hear it, if we'll listen, if we're willing to accept it. And you know, and the best way to hear from the Lord is to meditate in His Word, to just read His Word and go over it and over it and over it. And it's amazing how His Word can speak to you when you're willing to hear it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm telling you, the Word can show you, you know, how's this year going to be different? How's it going to be better? The Word can show you where you were missing it. It can show you what you need to fine-tune. So many people nowadays are looking for a book on success or how to whatever. But I'm telling you, His Word is the best way to get your thinking right and get you on the right path and on the right track. Psalm 19:7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The Word of God is full of life-changing truth. We just have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, to help us to see, to understand. Love this verse. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I pray that prayer sometimes. Open my eyes. I like it in the King James. That I might behold wondrous things from your law. How we need that. We need the Lord's help. Even when we look to the Word, we need Him to help us to see those things. Sometimes we just kind of see what we want to see, hear what we want to. Anybody got selective hearing? All teenagers have selective hearing. Okay, anyway, That's when you don't hear the parts you don't want to. So you renew your mind with the Word of God. Last, take action. How are you going to start a new year? You got to start. You got to take action. You got to take a step of faith. Faith without works is dead, so you have to step out. You got to prayerfully decide your course of action, and then you take that step of faith. It should never just be us trying to accomplish things in our own strength. As we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're taking a step of faith. We're doing something where we're having to trust God to help us. You know, when I say take action, I'm not talking about in the armor of the flesh, our own strength and ability, but rather that we are taking a step of faith, that we're trusting God. And when we take action, it's an expression of our faith, our trust in Him. You know, if we really want to see things change in our life, our family, workplace, it takes faith. You know, maybe there's something about yourself, your personality, whatever, that you want to see change. It takes faith. It takes trust in God. AA knows this. You know, they tell you got to have a higher power. You got to look to a higher power. But we need to know this more than anybody, that our faith is in Him, not in ourselves. We're believing God. And so we take action by taking a step of faith. So what's that first step of faith look like? Well, for some, it's set the alarm clock earlier. For some, it's plan out some healthy meals. For some, maybe it's to call a college or volunteer for a ministry or ask for forgiveness or buy a new Bible. By the way, there's some Bibles out on the bar top out there, and that have been left, some of them for over a year. And so if one of them's yours, get it fast after the service. And if they're not yours, somebody take them and give them to somebody that needs a Bible. They need a home. So they've been in the cabinet for a long time. So, but maybe you need a Bible. Talk to somebody about a problem. Do something you thought you couldn't do. You take the first step, and then you take another and another. Here's one of my favorite first steps. Maybe the first step to making your marriage great is to buy some flowers and say, "I'm sorry." I still remember going to the florist one day, and I said, "I need 2 dozen white roses." They said, "What'd you do?" I say, "How'd you know?" But maybe that's the first step for some people. Maybe the first step to financial freedom for some people is to say, "You know what, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to quit buying $5 Starbucks," whatever. You got to take a first step. Maybe the first step to becoming a more spiritual person for you is that you're going to read your Bible every day. Or maybe the first step is that you're going to pray and fast for 21 days. That's one day at a time. But most often, our success or failure really comes down to our daily choices. It's those daily steps and actions that each day. Is this helping me get closer to where I want to be? Is this helping me achieve what I believe God wants me to do? It's those daily things. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal that every day you're taking another step in the right direction. You just keep going. So I challenge you tonight, seize the day, take some inventory, accept responsibility, renew your mind, and take action. And all of these you do with prayer and trusting God to help you. Well, stand with me. I'm going to dismiss you early tonight. See, it's a new year. Breaking old patterns. All right. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. You love us so much. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your grace, your mercy, your love that's upon us and over us. Father, help us as we go out into this lost and hurting world, Lord, to take it with us, to share it with others, to bring glory and honor to you. Help us, Lord, to seize the day and to do all that you have for us this year. May it all be to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you.